Merci, Cherie. Der Eurovision Song Contest Podcast aus Wien und aus Hannover.
Mir gegenüber sitzt Marco Schreuder.
Mein Vis-à-vis ist Alkis Vlasakakis.
Und das Thema heute ist Koloratur und Fado-Disco.
Mit Elina Netschajewa und Manuela Bravo. Also wir reisen ins Jahr 1979 und ins Jahr 2018.
Marco, ich bin übrigens sehr, sehr froh, dass du nicht Hannover sagst.
Wer sagt denn sowas?
Ich glaube, so jeder Österreicher.
Echt? Ja. Ich bin froh, dass du nicht Netschajewa sagst.
Netschajewa.
Ja, was das ist nämlich extra nochmal. Wir haben gestritten, wir zwei, oder?
Genau. Wie spricht man denn das jetzt richtig aus?
Und wir haben uns jetzt gerade das estnische Fernsehen, ein Video aus dem estnischen Fernsehen angeschaut.
Genau. Und wir wissen jetzt, es heißt Netschajewa und wahrscheinlich wird das im Estnischen noch ein bisschen länger betont das A, aber die Betonung liegt auf dem A.
Kurz und gut, ich hatte recht.
Ja, whatever.
Ich war in Hannover.
Das ist sehr schön. Also, sehr schön, dass du dort warst. So wollte ich das jetzt ausdrücken.
Wir haben in Hannover alle, und jetzt sage und schreibe, Alkis, hör zu, alle Künstlerinnen und Künstler, die dort aufgetreten sind, haben Merci, Cherie, ein Interview gegeben.
Das wird, glaube ich, eine lange Sendung. Aber ich denke mal, wir teilen das wohl besser auf die kommenden Sendungen. Es ist ja eh Sommer.
Ja, wir bereiten jetzt mal ganz viele Sendungen vor. Daher keine News, keine aktuellen Nachrichten, sondern Interviews aus Hannover, die wir jetzt peu à peu veröffentlichen.
Genau, und jetzt fangen wir eben an mit Elina und Manuela. Marco, wie war es denn jetzt auf der UNESCO?
Ja, die UNESCO in Hannover ist über die Bühne gegangen. Siehe Episode 15 unseres Merci Cherie Podcast, wo wir den Organisator und den Ideenhaber sozusagen, Dr. Eurovision, aka Irving Benoit Wolter, zu Gast hatten. Da kündigte er noch an, jetzt ist die Zeit danach. Und es war großartig. Ich meine, es gibt ganz, ganz viele Fans, die vermissen das Orchester. Weißt du, wann der letzte Eurovision Song Contest mit Orchester war? In welchem Jahr?
Ich glaube 2004?
1998 war das letzte Mal ein Orchesterzwang sozusagen.
Dana hat mit Orchester gewonnen.
Genau, und viele, viele vermissen das Orchester. Und der Irving hatte die großartige Idee, alte, neue Eurovision Song Contest Songs einfach wieder zu präsentieren mit Orchester. Und somit eine Lücke zu füllen, die sozusagen zu füllen galt. Und es war schon schön, diese ganzen berühmten Songs alle mal mit diesem vollen Orchesterklang vom Treppenhausorchester in Hannover zu hören. Und es war, also man konnte da verschiedene Packages buchen, also so Gesamtpakete, so VIP-Pakete, da war auch ein Abendessen dabei und man hatte so ein Sennheiser Kopfhörer gewinnen können und die haben das gesponsert. Ne? Die hatten auch das Siegermikrofon dabei vom Duncan Lawrence, da konnte man Karaoke dann singen. Es gab ESC Disco, es gab natürlich die Galaabend, das war der Höhepunkt, also dieses Orchesterkonzert. Und vieles drum und dran. Und die Manuela Bravo hat dann zum Schluss am Sonntagnachmittag noch ein Fado-Konzert gegeben. Also die Sängerin, die wir nachher zu Gast haben. Aber vorher haben wir eine andere Frau zu Gast.
Nämlich eine Teilnehmerin einer Reality-TV-Songshow, nämlich Esti Otsip Superstari aus der dritten Season. Die übrigens insgesamt 4 Song Contest Teilnehmer rausgebracht hat und unter anderem eben als Sieger Ott Lepland, der dann 2012 dran war.
Und dessen Song Cooler, die Elina Netschajewa
heuer
gesungen hat auf der UNESCO. Aber hören wir das Interview rein.
Bitte.
Sie war 2018 der Opernstar auf der Bühne in Lissabon. Sie kam aus Estland und sang La Voce. Und wir haben sie heute zu Gast im Merci Cherie Podcast. Allerdings, I have to switch to English.
Hallo! Ich kann sprechen in Deutsch ein bisschen, aber let's switch to English.
Let's switch to English. I mean, we're still waiting for your career at the Opera House in Vienna, to be honest.
And I'm waiting for an invitation.
Alina Nechayeva, welcome to the Merci Chérie podcast. We are very happy that you're a guest.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be with you here.
So now it's nearly a year ago since your adventure in Portugal when you entered the Eurovision stage with a stunning performance, a stunning voice, and let's say a fabulous dress.
Thank you so much. It was amazing. It was such an extraordinary experience, and I'm really happy for all the support that I had from wonderful fans and my family and colleagues, and yeah. It was once-in-a-lifetime experience, I guess.
Well, maybe it's not a one-time experience.
Maybe there will be another experience like that. Let's see.
You know, our podcast is called Merci Chérie. That's a song of Udo Jürgens, and he joined 3 times until he won.
Okay, maybe I have a chance to win too.
Who knows? How did the whole experience, the Eurovision experience, started? Because you have a very serious education as an opera singer in Estonia. You had a very good and interesting start of a career as an opera singer in Italy and in Estonia.
Yes, it was very interesting. The moment when my colleagues, Timo Bent and Michael Mathisen, who are also the authors of the song La Forza, they came to me, they heard me singing at my friend's wedding. And they heard me and they said, wow, you have such an amazing voice and appearance, and let's try to do something different. I was like, okay, let's try. And then we met, we wrote a song together and recorded that. And it happened to be the date when you give your songs to the national competition.
It was a date where you had the last possibility to send in a song for
yes,
the pre-selection.
Yes, exactly. And we thought, why not? Let's try. If it goes well, then our Estonian people will hear such an interesting project, and if it doesn't go well, then we'll continue anyway, but in a different way. And it happened to be that I won our national selection for Eurovision, and then I got to Eurovision, and not only Estonian people heard our new project, but also quite almost the whole world.
Actually, the fans were stunned, and you came like a little bit of a dark horse, actually, even.
Really?
I mean, you entered top 10, so... how was it for you? I mean, you were used to sing live and with orchestra and on stages with a real audience in front of you, and then suddenly you have this way into the pop world, let's say. Is it a big difference?
Actually, I felt a little bit, yeah, like I was an alien there. It was really different because I have been in competitions, in opera competitions and classical music competitions, and it's the atmosphere, everything is different there. And there I was like, oh, where I am? Where am I? Am I lost? At first, it felt a little bit strange for me.
Also in the studio?
Backstage, like already okay. In Lisbon.
Okay.
Already
okay.
In Lisbon. But then I found so many positive things that you cannot meet maybe in classical music world. So I found it really an interesting experience. But for me, the very hard part was really to sing with a backtrack. Because in classical music, you always have an orchestra or a pianist or any other instrument. And every time you have so much freedom. You can change tempos, you can change colors, you can change volume and
you
everything.
Can communicate yes. with the musicians
yes.
and you cannot do this if you have a backtrack.
Yes, exactly. And every mm-hmm. time you can do something different and give it a different thought and meaning and play differently. But here, every time the accompaniment, the backtrack was the same, and it was so hard to find every time a motivation to sing it like from the heart and from the soul. Like, yeah, this backtrack thing, maybe it's a little bit harsh to say, but it felt like it was dead. And it was tricky to breathe in a life into that. But then I found some tricks, and I think it was good.
I mean, now since we have backtracks, we know, of course, that people are recording orchestras and they just yes. play the orchestra as a backtrack, like yeah. with Ride Like a Phoenix from Conchita, yeah. for example, Il Volo,
yeah,
exactly. or you. Now you are in Hanover because Dr. Eurovision, Irving Benoit-Volta, asked you to sing with orchestra,
yeah.
but Eurovision songs.
Yeah, I'm so happy about that.
Is this the reason why I did it? That you thought, okay, now I can bring this world together, this pop thing and this Eurovision
yeah.
thing with real orchestra and more realness on stage.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And I'm really happy about that, that there is such a great event where this music which is played on Eurovision is played with the orchestra, and in my opinion it should be at the real Eurovision.
It was
the same way. Can you imagine how exciting that would be?
Yeah,
that
it was.
Be...
I mean, we can still see it on the Albanian yeah. pre-selection because they still need to have an orchestra there.
Yeah.
And it's or in Sanremo.
Mm.
Would Sanremo, I think you would fit perfectly into the Sanremo festival. Would that be an idea for you? I mean, you sing Italian songs. You have an Italian team around you. What do you think about singing Italian in Sanremo?
I'm always open to interesting collaborations and projects.
And so. why not representing Italian? Oh. Italy?
maybe. I'll think about that. But I think that it's quite important to know when you're representing the whole country. It's quite important to know all the culture from inside, and because it's not only representing yourself and your song, it's actually also representing your country. So yeah, I think I wouldn't be as good as maybe some other Italian would be.
But what I think what is so interesting about you is you represented Estonia with an Italian song, mm-hmm. And you are yourself quite a mixed person, to say. You
yeah.
have Russian origins, you have Estonian origins, and you
right.
have Chuvash origins,
yes.
right? I think a lot of people will not know what Chuvash is. Can you maybe explain what this where does this come from?
This is let's say a tribe in Russia, in the south of Russia, and my grandmother is from there, so I've got some roots.
Do you speak the language?
No.
But you speak Russian and Estonian.
Yes,
and Italian.
Russian. Yeah, Italian, English too.
and a little German.
yeah, a little bit German.
Yes.
And actually French. French is one of my favorite languages, actually, because it's so beautiful and romantic. And I really enjoy singing in French.
What is your favorite opera?
Oh, that's such a complicated question. Because
but what do you like to sing an opera?
Because there are so many beautiful operas, so much beautiful music. But let's think. I love actually some Russian operas. For example, Golden Cockerel by Rimsky-Korsakov. This is an amazing story. It's based on a, let's say, fairy tale. And the music is fantastic. And I love also... these famous operas like Puccini, La Bohème. Oh my God, this music is fantastic. And all these characters, just amazing.
Gwanshina.
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite.
Wow, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And
so one of my favorites.
Of course, I love Mozart. I'm in love with Mozart. I really love singing Mozart. For example, Queen of the Night or Constance or...
Okay, make the coloratures of the Queen of the Night now.
Not a problem.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, can you give me a... let's say... Just a second. I'll take out of my piano.
Okay, sorry, I couldn't... I could only help with a YouTube video.
No, I can take the right thing here.
I think that was good enough for me. It was good enough for me. Thank
sorry.
You so much. You had a new single now?
Yes.
Which is called La Voce dell'Alba.
Yes.
Is it from the same team like La Forza?
Yes, exactly. It was written really, really quick because... this year's national selection final was a big event, and they said, you know that you have some 4.5 minutes live there, and I got this information 1 week before.
Okay.
So it was, okay, now I have to write quickly a song.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully... my colleagues, Michael and Timo, they had already some ideas, and they showed me them. I wrote with my friend the words, the same evening, the whole night. The next day we recorded the first example, then we changed a bit, some melody and stuff. Then the next day we recorded a boys choir, and then did my vocal recording, and it was very intense. And then I think it was 1 day before or 2 days before performance, I thought, oh my God, I cannot go out naked. I have to have some costume there. So my
well, naked would be make a lot of media echo.
That's for sure. But I thought that maybe this time we should go more classic way.
Yeah, I understand.
In a dress.
You.
And yeah, my... my colleague who makes me all the dresses, she helped me out and sew a dress in 1 or 2 days. And yeah, it was performed there.
I told you, we will put the video link in our show notes. So everyone who wants to listen to the new song, make a break of the podcast now, listen to the song and go back to our interview. I told you before, if you would send this song to Eurovision now, you would, I think, win.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
No, really. But what I don't understand is we had a lot of opera songs at Eurovision, but no one won yet. So we are waiting for it. It could be Il Volo or you.
Okay. Then maybe we should do something
together. And representing Estonia and Italy in one song. I'm curious what the EBU would say to that idea. A collaboration of two countries. That would be something new.
Yeah, that would be something really interesting. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'll take the copyright. Now you will sing, and this is what I really wanted to ask you, because you would sing more songs here in Hanover for the UNESCO.
Yes.
Which songs will you perform here?
One song is Nur in der Wiener Luft.
We will talk about that.
Yes. It's from 1983.
It's from 1962.
62.
Yes.
Why I remember... Oh, because another song was from that year. Sorry, I'm bad with numbers.
No problem.
So, yeah, it's an amazing song. I really love it.
You know, it became last with 0 points.
That's a shame.
Yes. And you know what? Dr. Eurovision, Erwin Benoit-Walter, who's organizing the UNESCO, and me and our podcast, Merci Chérie, and so Alkis and me. Alkis is not here, unfortunately. We are working together because the singer of that song, 1962, Eleonore Schwarz, disappeared. No one knows where she is. We are searching for her. We did research in the opera houses in Osnabrück, mm-hmm. in Vienna, everywhere. We know that she performed in Osnabrück in the early 60s. Yeah. We know that she performed in Vienna. We found still traces of her in 1968, and then she disappeared. We don't know if she's still alive. We don't know if she's not alive. There are some. We got one mail with one guy who said he knows that she died in the early 2000s, but he isn't sure, but he heard that. So we, for all the listeners who know where is Eleonore Schwarz, we are still looking for her. We made an email address, and it's eleonore.schwarz@mercicherie.at. You are performing this song for the first time since Eurovision 1962. It was never, it's never been performed again.
That's fantastic. I feel honored.
Yes. So what else will you perform?
La Forza, of course. My dear La Forza. And also I'm going to perform Oitleplans Kula.
Oh, but that's a good song.
Yeah.
That was in 2012, I think.
Yeah, and it got a quite a good place.
Yes.
I think, was it fourth or something?
I can't remember, but top five, I think. Yeah,
and it got really good points from juries.
Yeah.
And I really love this song. The lyrics and everything is just fantastic.
He did the same like you. He went on stage and you could feel him. Yeah. He was authentic. You knew he was enjoying what he was doing, and he was believing in what he was doing.
Because you cannot do anything different with this song. I mean, you have to sing it that way. There are no other possibilities. There will be also a little surprise.
Oh, and you don't tell. But this podcast will be after the show anyway, so you can
say. I will sing just a little part of this year's Russian song.
Oh, yeah. Does Sergei Lazarev know that?
I don't know. I haven't written him yet.
Well, maybe you could do a duet together.
Oh, that would be quite fun. I think that this song that he sang this year, Scream, it fits with my voice and with operatic voice, and I think that would be an interesting duet.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Dear Elena, we always have three questions on the end, and I didn't prepare you, so sorry. But every guest is asked to get this question.
Okay, I'm ready.
Which Eurovision Song Contest song of all times is your favorite?
That's an interesting question, but let's say for now it's Kula.
That's a nice answer.
Yeah, that's also the reason why I chose that song. It's in our beautiful language, Estonian language, such a beautiful melody, and it was so well performed, and I think it touched a lot of people's hearts.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of my favorites.
Yes, props to Otlepland was his name.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So do you have a guilty pleasure at Eurovision? Something you don't want to tell the people that much, that you actually love something, what you're a little feel guilty about?
About Eurovision?
Yeah.
You mean from Eurovision songs?
Songs or something from Eurovision itself.
Oh.
You know, for me, it's the Wind Machines. It's a difficult question, honestly.
Yeah, this is a difficult question.
Or something you experienced while you were there. A little anecdote or something.
Oh, you know, there was a thing. It was in a semi-final. Before me was singing one guy, and I wanted to concentrate on my singing and on my performance, so I didn't put the in-ears in my ears, because I didn't want to hear him. I wanted to be alone with myself.
You want to focus.
Yeah. Because usually when you're backstage, they're putting on the mics and in-ears. That means like the monitors. You can hear what is going on now on the stage. And I didn't want to hear that, so I took them out. And then already I ran with my big skirt onto the stage, and the audience started to roar, and I really like got started because of that, because it was so loud, and I was thinking like, why is it so loud? Are people really screaming so loud? And then I see that the lights are turning off, and I should hear in my in-ear, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm not hearing that. And I'm like, oh, shoot. I don't have my monitors on. So the last thing, I grab them. And it's not easy to put them in your ear, you know. It takes time. So I was just like frantically putting them in. And the second the camera was on me, I stood still and started to sing. So
was it a live show? Or?
Yes, it was in a semi-final.
Oh, my God.
So that's why the beginning of my song wasn't the best.
Okay, so, yeah. We'll watch that performance again,
no, please, don't
knowing
do that.
This. Yeah. did you prefer your final performance?
Yeah, I think it was better.
Did you follow the Eurovision this year?
Yes, I followed.
Which songs of this year's Eurovision Song Contest is still in your playlist?
Oh, you know, I don't have playlists because I produce music so much during the day. So I don't listen much in my free
but
time.
But which song was your favorite? So maybe Russia then, if you sing it.
Yeah, Russian song, of course. I really loved it. And actually, I love this. Soldi, soldi.
Mahmoud, who was guest in our podcast too.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, it was quite interesting. Not typical song for Eurovision. And I loved also Chingiz's song. And he's also performing with me. And with all of us in Hanover, I really loved his song. And there were many, many wonderful songs this year.
Elinas, thank you so much that you have been here with us. And we always end with the sentence, merci, chérie.
Merci, chérie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, die klingt wahnsinnig witzig. Also, ich denke, ihr hattet wirklich eine schöne Zeit. Ich bin wirklich auch traurig, dass ich nicht mit war, aber ich habe dafür Shakespeare gespielt, ist auch schön.
Ja, also Elina war super. Also grundsätzlich zum Setting, man hört ja auch ein bisschen Hintergrundgeräusche. Ich durfte im Hotel sein, einen Tag vor der Gala-Konzert, und ich saß einfach den ganzen Tag in diesem Hotel Leonardo rum und habe ich jemanden erwischt und gesagt, komm her und wir nehmen jetzt auf. Und die Elina, aber ich habe schon mit den meisten was ausgemacht. Aber manche, die haben ja auch manche dieser ehemaligen Eurovision Song Contest Stars haben ja gar kein Management mehr, die machen das alles selber. Also ich habe mittlerweile private E-Mail-Adressen und man macht sich halt aus und ja, setz dich mal hin und ich komme dann schon irgendwann. So war das ungefähr. Und die Elina war, also ich finde, sie ist einfach ein Gesamtpaket. Sie ist unglaublich hübsch. Also man schaut sie wirklich gerne an. Also sie hat eine unglaubliche Ausstrahlung, sie hat eine unglaubliche Stimme und sie ist dann auch, wie du bemerkt hast, auch im Gespräch einfach eine unglaublich sympathische Frau.
Und sie mag meine Lieblingssongs. Also Cola ist wunderbar. Ja. Ich liebe ja diese Nummer.
Wir werden ihre Performance verlinken in den Shownotes, wo man die drei Songs, also wir machen das mit dem Timecode von YouTube, dass man ihre drei Performances sich anschauen kann, auch nur in der Wiener Luft. Dazu kommen wir auch noch mal in dieser Episode. Ja, und die andere Künstlerin war die Manuela Bravo. Inwieweit kannst du dich an sie erinnern?
Ah, nicht so wahnsinnig. Ich weiß, das gelbe Kleid ist mir damals ins Gedächtnis, hat sich eingebrannt in mein Gedächtnis. Und ich weiß, Ende 70er war das, 78, 79?
79. Sie eröffnete den Song Contest und ich würde vorschlagen, wir hören uns das Gespräch jetzt einfach mal an. Einer meiner Lieblings-Eurovision Song Contests ist der Eurovision Song Contest von 1979. And now I switch to English because we have the opener of the Eurovision Song Contest.
1979. Say it in Portuguese.
1979. 1979.
We are in a hotel in Hanover, so if you hear some noise in the background, don't worry. We are on a bar.
Yeah.
But we drink coffee.
Yes.
We have Manuela Bravo with us.
Hello.
Welcome to the Merci Chérie podcast.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Obrigado. You opened the Eurovision Song Contest 1979 in Jerusalem.
Yes.
How is the feeling of being on start position one?
Well, I think I'm relieved. I felt relieved, you know, because of the, I don't know how to say it in English, the nerves.
Yes.
So when someone told me I would be the first one to sing, I was very pleased with that.
That's great. I remember your song very well.
Thank you very much.
I was a child. I mean, I was 10 years old. And I still think that the Eurovision 1979 is one of the best Eurovisions ever. I think there were so many good songs.
Many good songs, really. Yeah. I remember, Israel, Spain, France with Anne-Marie Davy.
Yeah.
I like very much your song from Austria, Heute in Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Very nice song, and I feel the same you feel. It was one of the best Eurovision Song Contest than ever.
Portugal mostly did send songs which were very popular in Portugal, but not so easy for people outside of Portugal to understand. Mm. But your song was very pop, was really modern pop music from the 70s.
Everybody outside Portugal remember my song. I think that's great.
You have to say the title of your song because I'm afraid I say it wrong.
Okay, in Portuguese, Sob Sob, Balloon Sob. In English, Flying Up With My Balloon. In French, Tu T'Envoles Mon Ballon.
And in German?
In German, I don't have in German, because someone proposed me to record in German too, but I couldn't because it's very difficult.
Okay.
I'm terribly sorry, but yes. I couldn't. Yeah.
The history of Portugal at the Eurovision Song Contest is a very special one, I think, because it took so many years until you did win.
It's really,
but 1979, at least you came in the top 10, right?
I was in 8th or 9th place. I suppose 9th place.
I think the 9th place
it was.
Yeah.
But I think that if I sang that song with the publicity we have today, we have internet, many ways of promoting songs. I suppose that if I had on that time the same conditions that they have today, probably I could
have achieve a better position.
Yes,
probably.
Yes.
How did you realize, or how did you feel in Jerusalem in the year 79? How was the city? How were the people?
I became in love with Jerusalem and Israel because it's a very special country. Everybody, you know Israel?
Yes, I was in Tel Aviv just a few weeks ago.
And did you like to stay in Israel?
I loved it.
It's a very special country, isn't
and,
it?
And they have nearly as good food as Portugal.
That's true. That's true. But I think that Israel is my second land. Yes, it's a very special country. And because I am Christian, I like that place. I think it's a very special place. And I visit every street of the old Jerusalem, and well, it was so beautiful, and I would like very much to return there.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you achieved the top 10 position, yeah. And then Portugal waited for years and years and years and decades, actually.
Yes, with Salvador Sobral. Yes.
Exactly. That's, you know exactly what I want to talk about. Did you follow all the Eurovisions every year?
Not every year, but on that year, well.
Are you a fan of Eurovision?
More or less, because I think that each country should sing in his own language. And I think that would be great if the song, the Eurovision Song Contest has had an orchestra, a live orchestra, because I think it's much more interesting.
Is that the reason why he came here to Hanover for the UNESCO? Because you can sing with orchestra again?
Oh, of course. One of the reasons, of course.
Yeah. So how did you, what have you done on that night watching Eurovision?
The night Salvador went?
Yes.
No, I was with friends and we celebrated in a bar in Lisbon. Yes.
Okay, you have been in a bar, so you were a public viewing.
Yes.
So it was a big party.
Yes.
Yeah. We enjoyed Eurovision very much in Lisbon. 2018. Were you proud to be such part of a hosting country?
Of course.
As one of the former singers?
Of course, of course, of course.
And have you been involved in the
Eurovision?
No,
they didn't invite me.
Yeah.
No.
Why not, actually?
I don't know. I don't know.
What is Manuela Bravo doing now?
Singing and singing and singing.
You never stopped singing?
No. Singing and make many concerts. I sing fado too. I make theater too.
So you have the saudade in your heart?
Yes.
Yeah?
Saudade.
Okay, I said it wrong. I'm sorry.
No, saudade.
Yeah.
Saudade. Yes, right.
This is something very Portuguese, something untranslatable, actually.
Yes. It's fado. It's Portuguese, it's Portugal, I don't know.
And you go on a concert tour with a fado group, right?
Yes.
Where are you going to?
Several cities here in Germany and outside Germany and in Portugal, too.
Are you coming to Austria, too?
I would like very much.
But you have no dates yet.
No,
not yet. So if one of the concert producers in Switzerland and Austria are listening now, book Manuela Bravo. We would like to see her singing Fado in Vienna too.
Thank you very much.
I always have three questions at the end, and I didn't prepare you.
I would like very much to visit Austria
because
of that great movie. Sound of Music.
And I told you.
Yes. But I know you Austrians don't remember the Sound of Music.
It's not so popular in Austria. It's funny,
but why?
No? I don't know.
I can't understand that.
It's changing a little bit in the last years, but, you know, in Salzburg they have Sound of Music tours for the tourists from Japan, from China and from America.
Yes, I know that.
But the Austrians themselves don't know it so much.
Okay. And, it's not normal.
And where she is in these lakes and the mountains you see in the movie, that's the region where I grew up.
Oh, my God.
That's called Salzkammergut.
Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. And the music, it's so lovely. So.
So sing something from the Sound of Music for me. Edelweiss.
Edelweiss. Na, 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 na.
You could make a Portuguese version.
Yes. Why not?
So I have always three questions at the end. And
okay.
I didn't prepare
I'm
you.
I'm terribly
which is
sorry
really
about my English. Because
your English is perfect.
I don't practice everyday English, so I'm terribly sorry.
Your English is perfect, really.
It's better than your Portuguese.
Definitely. Do you have, because you follow Eurovision already such a long time, do you have one song from the Eurovision history that is still your most
favorite?
Several,
but my favorite is Après Toi. Vicky Leandros, 1972.
Two. Very good choice. I even prefer her first song.
Tu t'en vas, L'amour a pour toi le sourire d'une autre. Je voudrais, mais ne peux t'en vouloir. Désormais, tu vas m'oublier. Ce n'est pas de ta faute. Et pourtant, tu dois savoir.
Après toi.
Qu'après toi, etc.
So your French is also better than my Portuguese.
Oh, thank you very much. Merci beaucoup.
De rien. And do you have a guilty pleasure at Eurovision, a song or something at Eurovision which you don't dare to tell the people that you like it actually, but
a song which I don't like?
A song, a guilty pleasure, something you like, but it's not good to tell that you like it.
No.
You like the Kitsch or something, or...
When I like a song, I like a song. I when I like a song, that's because I feel it, you know, inside me. So when I don't like, I don't like. Well, I can't explain you.
Yes,
but
taste is difficult to explain.
Yes, yes, yes.
And from this year's Eurovision Song Contest from 2019.
I like the winner, Holland.
Yes, you still have it on your playlist.
Yeah, yes. I like Israel. I like Russia. Well, I like Macedonia, the singer.
Yes, she was
Macedonia.
Fabulous.
Yes, she was fabulous. I didn't like Australia. The woman looks crazy. You know, how can I explain?
On the sticks. Yeah.
Yes,
on the poles.
I didn't like. Mm-hmm. I didn't like. Sorry.
No problem. Manuela Bravo, thank you for coming to our podcast.
Thank you very much. And I hope one day I'll go to Austria, Salzburg, The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I say obrigado.
Thank you.
As we say, yeah.
How do you say obrigado?
Dankeschön.
Dankeschön.
But
Dankeschön.
We always say, in the name of Udo Jürgens, merci, chérie.
Merci, chérie.
Die ist zauberhaft.
Ja.
Kann ich die heiraten? Oh. Nein, ich bin verheiratet.
Sie hat mir immer gesagt, dass wir an diesem Wochenende ein Ehepaar waren.
Also wir beide jetzt?
Nein, die Manuela Bravo und ich.
Okay,
also es war
weiß
bisschen,
dein Mann davon?
Ja, ich habe ihre Handynummer. Also sie war wirklich entzückend und sie war auch so warmherzig. Also sie hat, glaube ich, wirklich jeden umarmt. Und ich glaube, den einen oder anderen Schweden ein bisschen zum Wahnsinn gebracht. Aber mehr will ich da nicht erzählen. Aber sie war wirklich entzückend und sie saß da die ganze Zeit und herum und hat sich mit jedem angefreundet. Also sie war entzückend. Und das Vaterkonzert, ich musste ja leider mit dem Zug schon nach Wien zurückfahren. Ich hätte es mir gerne angeschaut. Aber sie hat gesungen, auch Amar Perus Deutsch. Bei dem UNESCO-Konzert. Auch das werden wir in den Shownotes natürlich verlinken.
Auf jeden Fall.
Und ja, sie ist eine tolle Frau.
Merci, chérie. Die kleine Song-Contest-Geschichte am Schluss. Marco, du hast mir doch sicher etwas mitgebracht.
Ja, und zwar, wir reden ein letztes Mal über Eleonore Schwarz, weil Elina Nechayeva ja ihren Song gesungen hat. Und ich dachte mir, reden wir mal über den Komponisten des Songs. Weißt du, wer das war?
Irgendein Bruno.
Ein Bruno Uher.
Aha.
Er ist nicht mehr, er ist wirklich schon lange gestorben. Er hat geboren 1912 in Wien und eben dort gestorben 1976.
Also da war ich 12.
Ja, eben. Er war als Kind schon Komponist, hat viele Jazzbearbeitungen gemacht. Dafür ist er überhaupt sehr berühmt geworden, dass er ältere Musik in neueren Rhythmen so umgechanged hat, sozusagen. Mit 18 komponierte er, das finde ich interessant, die Filmmusik für den allerersten österreichischen Sprech- und Tonfilm. Der Film hieß Stürmisch die Nacht, in der Regie von Kurt Blache. Und da gibt es zum Beispiel den Lied Sag mir, du liebst mich oder Mein Liebst ist Matrose. Und das waren dann damals schon so Schlager in den Radios.
Ja.
Er hat dann Jazznummern komponiert, er hat für Musikrevues, also zum Beispiel Wir senden Liebe mit von Fritz Grünbaum, komponiert. In der Zweiten Weltkrieg war er dann Komponist für mehrere Filmtheater- und Schlagermusikdarbietungen. 1936/37 hatte er einen großen Erfolg mit einem Wiener Lied. Ich habe mir nur für Grinzing einen Dienstmann engagiert.
Das kenne ich, das habe ich, glaube ich, auf Schellack zu Hause.
Ja, wahrscheinlich von der Hermann Leopoldi gesungen dann, oder?
Das weiß ich gar nicht.
Sie hat es gesungen, aber es gibt auch ganz berühmte Aufnahmen, unter anderem ja die ganz berühmten Hans Moser, Peter Alexander.
Ich glaube, es war Hans Moser.
Und ja, der Wolfgang Amros hat den Song auch einmal gesungen.
Der schreckt vor nichts zurück.
So ist es. Er war dann Funker für die deutsche Wehrmacht in den 40er Jahren. Dort hat er das Funken hat übrigens von Heinz Konrads gelernt. 1943 ist er dann ins Wiener Stadttheater gewechselt und dann auch zur Löwinger Bühne. Die kennst du wahrscheinlich noch.
Die kenne ich natürlich. Sissi Gucki, Paul Löwinger, der Alte, ja.
Ja, gibt es jetzt, ich meine, nur noch in Restbeständen, aber nicht mehr in dieser. Also in meiner Kindheit war das quasi Pflichtprogramm. Das war so ja. Für die deutschen Zuschauer, das war so populäres Bauerntheater auf Wienerisch. Also ja. Es war ja eigentlich städtisch, aber es spielte immer im Land eigentlich. Ne? So Verwechslungskomödien und so. Ja. Er war dann Hauskomponist im Fürstenhof, das war im zweiten Bezirk bis 1951, dann wurde das geschlossen. Er hat zum Beispiel die Musik geschrieben für Ralf Benatzky, Spielfilm Verklungenes Wien unter Regie von Ernst, Entschuldigung, Marischka.
Sissi.
Genau. Er spielte auch Musik beim Wiener Opernball ein in den 50er Jahren, hat im Gärtnerplatztheater in München auch viel gearbeitet. Ja, und dann 62 eben sein Auftritt beim Eurovision Song Contest, beziehungsweise sein Song beim Eurovision Song Contest. Ja, und dann hat er noch Musik komponiert für die Filme Wiener Geschichten, Der keusche Adam oder, wo ich aufgewachsen bin, Skandal in Ischl.
Das warst du, komm, gib's
ja,
zu.
Ja, ich habe viele Skandale dort produziert. Ja, 1976 gestorben, er liegt auf dem Wiener Zentralfriedhof und neben ihm ruht seine Ehefrau, die Emilie Uhr, 1916 geboren und 2009 gestorben. Sie ist die Schwester von Paul Löwinger.
Also ist er der Onkel von der Sissi Löwinger und von der Gugi Löwinger?
Ich steige dann immer aus, aber so um den Dreh herum.
Ja, genau.
Das war meine Geschichte. Ich habe mir gedacht, noch einmal Eleonore Schwarz und alle Hinweise. Wir wissen noch immer nicht, wo sie ist, lebt sie noch. Die Hinweise verdichten sich, dass sie gestorben ist. eleonore.schwarz@mercicherie.at. Merci.
Cherie.
Genau.
Missing Link.